without regard for God at all. Now, the one thing the Bible says he did have going for him is he had a great wife. Her name is Abigail, and the Bible says that she's beautiful and intelligent. Now, how such a scumbag got such a great wife, I don't know. Probably a rearranged marriage or something. The Bible also says he's a very foolish person. In fact, his name means fool. He's a very foolish person. The Bible says in Psalm 14:1, the fool says in his heart, there is no God. And this is how Nabal lived his life. He lives his life like there's no one else to answer to, that there's no consequences for his actions. He can do whatever he wants with no regard for God. So let's pick up the story now that we know a little bit about Nabal at verse 4. It says, while David was in the wilderness, he heard that Nabal was shearing sheep. So he sent 10 young men and said to them, go to Nabal at Carmel and greet him in my name. Say to him, long life to you, good health to you and your household, and good health to all that is yours. Now I hear that it is sheep shearing time. When your shepherds were with us, we did not mistreat them. The whole time they were at Carmel, nothing of theirs was missing. Ask your own servants, and they will tell you. Therefore, be favorable toward my men, since we come at a festive time. Please bring your servants and your son David whatever you can find for them. So David and his men, while they're living out there in the wilderness, they find some honest, meaningful employment. They start protecting and guarding the flocks those that are employed by this man Nabal. Now, David didn't really have a formal agreement to do this, and in our culture, this might seem kind of strange, asking for payment for something you've done after the fact with no agreement ahead of time. But in this culture, it was a cultural expectation that if people did this for you, you would at the very least provide some provision. And David really isn't asking for much here. He's just asking for whatever you can give in exchange for the favor that we've done for you. Please send it. He doesn't give a specific amount. This is not David being greedy. David isn't robbing this man. He's actually worked for free for him for many months. This is just David asking for this favor, which should have been an easy thing for Nabal to do. It was sheep shearing time. It was harvest time. Harvest was a time for hard work, but also it was a time for celebration. He's holding a great feast. It is time now to collect the money for all the hard work everyone has done. So everybody is celebrating. There's lots of food to go around. And so David's request is very normal. It's not unusual at all. It's harvest time. And so Nabal has this great opportunity to be a blessing when he has been so blessed. But instead, he responds this way. Look at verse 10. This is Nabal's response to David's request. Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? Many servants are breaking away from their masters these days. Why should I take my bread and water and meal that I have slaughtered for the shearers and have it and give it to men who are coming from who knows where? So not only does Nabal refuse David's request, but he insults him along the way. He says, who is this? Who is this David? Well, he knew very well who David was. Everybody there knew who David was. This is him just being insulting. Go down to verse 12. David's men turned around and went back, and when they arrived, they reported every word. David said to his men, each of you strap on your sword. And so they did. And David strapped his on as well. About 400 men went up with David, while 200 stayed with the supplies. So this is like the last straw for David. Apparently, you know, these months of living in the wilderness, living on the run, working hard, and then getting nothing for their hard work, that is all added up, and David is about to blow his top. I mean, he has had enough, and he's going to go after this guy, Nabal. You know, anger will do that to you. Anger will do that to you. Anger will make you forget about God. It will make you forget about who you are. It will make you forget about the consequences of your actions. And anger will just make you do stupid stuff. Right? Proverbs chapter 19, verse 19 says a hot-tempered person must pay the penalty. There's going to be a price to pay for that anger, for that rage. Proverbs 29:11 says, fools give full vent to their rage, but wise bring calm. Just because you feel like you're justified in your anger, just because you feel like you're justified in taking revenge, that doesn't mean it's the right thing to do. Just because someone else does the wrong thing, that doesn't mean your anger should be given full vent. Now, you've probably never seriously considered taking a sword to somebody. I hope not. But for us, maybe it's a nasty email. Maybe it's talking behind someone's back. Maybe it's hurting a person's reputation. That's how we tend to get revenge. Rather than strapping on a sword, we say something nasty on Facebook. Now, listen, guys, Nabal is a complete fool. There's no denying that. But in response to Nabal being a fool, David's about to do something foolish. My father-in-law, who was with us just recently and visited, years ago, shared some words of wisdom with me that I have never forgotten. I mean, we'd probably been married less than a year, and I was expressing some frustration about the actions of some people, and Dad looked at me and he said, look, Tim, don't make their problem your problem. Don't make their problem your problem. And I was so glad I listened to those words of advice, and I want to share those same words with you this morning. Don't make that other person's problem your problem. Right? This is the mistake David is about to make. This guy's a complete fool. He's ill-tempered. He's an ungodly person. And yet David is about to respond to him in such a way that's actually going to be a boomerang and hurt David. Skip down to verse 18. Something beautiful happens here. God uses Nabal's wife, Abigail, this beautiful, intelligent woman, to divert David in his plan. It says, Abigail acted quickly. She took 200 loaves of bread, 2 skins of wine, 5 dressed sheep, 5 seahs of roasted grain, 100 cakes of raisin, and 200 cakes of pressed figs, and loaded them on donkeys. Now, I just want you to just notice that first part. Abigail acted quickly. Some things in life, you need to wait and kind of let them simmer. You need to just kind of see what happens. There are some things in life where you need to act quickly, right? There are some things in life where you need to make a decision and you need to act quickly, all right? And Abigail has the wisdom to know that she can't wait here. She must act quickly. And then verse 23 says, when Abigail saw David, she quickly got off her donkey and bowed down before David with her face to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, pardon your servant, my lord, and let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Please pay no attention to my lord, that wicked man Nabal. He is just like his name. His name means fool, and folly goes with him. And as for me, your servant, I did not see the men that my lord sent. Verse 26, and now my lord, as surely as the Lord your God lives, and as you live, since the Lord has kept you from bloodshed and from avenging yourself with your own hands, remember Saul? May your enemies and all you are who are intent on harming you, my Lord, be like Nabal. And let this gift which your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the men who follow you. Please forgive your servant's presumption. The Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty for my Lord, because you fight the Lord's battles. and no wrongdoing will be found in you as long as you live. Verse 29, even though someone is pursuing you to take your life, the life of my Lord will be bound securely in the bundle of the living by the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will hurl away from the pocket of a sling. And when the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he promised concerning him and has appointed him ruler over Israel, my Lord will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed or of having avenged himself. And when the Lord your God has brought my Lord success, remember your servant. Wow. Abigail here, she says just the right thing. This Abigail, she's an amazing woman, right? This took a lot of courage, first of all, for her to come to David. Took a lot of courage for her to go out there. And not only is she courageous, she's also the personification of wisdom. She has so much wisdom in what she shares. I'm going to skip over that next slide. And I just want to give you just kind of an outline of some of the basics of what Abigail tells David. These are the words of wisdom that Abigail gives to David. First of all, Abigail tells David, think before you act. Think before you act. She says, let me speak to you. Hear what your servant has to say. Think before you act, before you fly off the handle, before you do something you're going to regret, before you quit your job, before you send that email, before you push send, think before you act. Think before you act. The second word of wisdom Abigail gives David is remember who you are. Remember who you are. She tells David, the Lord your God will certainly make a lasting dynasty of my Lord because you fight the Lord's battles. She reminds David, David, you're going to be God's king. God has a great plan for your life. You're going to lead this entire nation. Remember who you are. Remember who you are. What a great word of wisdom, church. Remember who you are. Remember wherever you go, whatever you're doing, you carry, as a Christ follower, you carry the name of Jesus and you represent Jesus Christ to this world. Remember who you are. And then thirdly, remember that your actions today will have consequences tomorrow. Abigail, again, in verse 30, when the Lord has fulfilled for my Lord every good thing he has promised concerning him and has appointed him as ruler of Israel, my Lord, listen, will not have on his conscience the staggering burden of needless bloodshed. You see, in spite of what Nabal had done, for David to take his life, it would be murder. David would become a murderer. Pretty good advice right there, amen? Pretty good advice. Think before you act, remember who you are, and remember that your actions today will have consequences tomorrow. Great advice, great wisdom. And then, as for David, he does something wise. He listens to Abigail. He listens to good advice. Verse 32, David said to Abigail, praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, who has sent you today to meet me. David recognized this wasn't just Abigail, this was God sending Abigail. This was God speaking to him through Abigail. May you be blessed for your good judgment and for keeping me from bloodshed this day and from avenging myself with my own hands. Yeah, that's David's part. David had the wisdom to listen to wisdom, right? He had the wisdom to listen. Listen. Rather than having to say later on, I wish I would have listened, he can now say, I'm glad I did listen. The Bible has a lot to say about wisdom. It has a lot to say. In fact, Pastor Troy is going to do a message next Sunday about wisdom, a topical message, because we wanted to follow up this message with talking about biblical wisdom. But I want to share a couple of scriptures that speak to listening, the importance of listening. Proverbs 12:15, the way of the fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. Oh, I'm sorry, I skipped one. I'll do that first one. Let the wise listen, and add to their learning, and let the discerning get guidance. In other words, if you're a wise person, you listen, and the more you listen, you get even wiser. Okay? The wisdom of listening. Proverbs 13:10, where there is strife, there is pride, but wisdom is found in those who take advice. Proverbs 19:20, listen to advice and accept discipline, and at the end, you will be counted among the wise. How many of you think these are just great verses? It's great. Proverbs 23:12, apply your heart to instruction and your ears to the words of knowledge. Listen. Now, end of the story. Quickly. Abigail goes home, tells her, gets home and finds that her husband's drunk, so decides, I'll wait till tomorrow to talk to him. Next morning, they get up, they're having breakfast. Abigail tells Nabal what he did. And instead of thanking her for saving his life, which is what she did, she didn't have to, but she did. Rather than thanking her, he flies into a rage, and the Bible says that he went into a coma. And we're not given much more than that, but it looks like he elevated his blood pressure so high that he had a stroke. And 10 days later, he dies. And when David hears about that, he recognizes that God is the one that took revenge. He didn't have to. And he remembers that Abigail was really pretty. So he marries her. So and it's such a perfect story because in the end, the bad guy dies, the good guy wins, and the good guy gets the girl. But think about this. I want you to think how differently this story would have ended if David wouldn't have listened. Right? Think about how the course of David's life would have been changed forever if he wouldn't have listened. He would have become a murderer. He would have been completely derailed from the plan of God for his life. And I got to tell you, as a pastor, I've seen way, way, way too many Christians derail because they wouldn't listen. People tried to talk to him. Their pastor tried to talk to him. They wouldn't listen to the Word of God. They wouldn't listen to the Spirit of God. They were so set on their course. Listen, don't be so tied to your own opinions and your own decisions that you can't get away from them. Recognize there is a time to be steadfast in your decision, but also recognize there are times that God is going to want to change your mind. Right? Listen. Listen to the wise counsel of God, whether it comes from His Bible, the Word of God, whether it comes from the Holy Spirit, whether it comes from a pastor, whether it comes from a friend, whether it comes from your spouse. Listen to what God is trying to tell you. It's just like God used Abigail as a guardrail. You know, there's a reason we have guardrails, right? So you won't fly off the highway. And just in the right time, God put a guardrail in David's path and kept him from doing something so foolish. Church, listen. Let's pray right now. And would you sincerely come before the Lord right now? And would you pray this prayer along with me? Just a simple prayer, but so profound. Just ask God this morning, God, help me to listen. Help me to listen. God, forgive my stubbornness. Forgive my pride. Help me, God, to listen. Help me to listen to your word. God, a gift to me. Your word is a gift to me. Help me to listen to your word. Help me to listen to the nudges of your Holy Spirit. God, help me to listen to the people that you put into my life to speak wisdom into my life. Help me, God, to listen to you, God. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. God is good. Amen. Pastor Ben, where are you? Pastor Ben's going to come up. We're going to receive this morning's offering. Yeah, welcome him.
All right. Well, as some of you know, we had summer camp last week, and I am here. So, success. We have made it through summer camp. We kind of always know summer camp doesn't start until we do octopus or squid in the water balloon launchers, and we were able to do that on day one. So we had octopus flying in the air in camp. Camp was awesome. It was actually so interesting this year. Again, as I was kind of telling you, we had a lot of new people and a lot of people that didn't attend our church coming to camp, people that didn't attend any church. And it was so interesting on the first night just to see these kids, because, I pretty much know all the kids who go to our church, and we gave that first altar call for people to receive Jesus and all the hands that went up. And to see kids just excited about receiving Jesus, and it was an awesome camp. So I just want to thank you guys for being a part of that. But I do have one announcement real quick. We have a special day coming up. One of my favorite things that we did as a family last year, it was called the Mac Serve Day, and we're doing it again. So this is an opportunity for you, for your family, to come out and serve our community, which I don't know if you feel this way, sometimes hard to do. Like, you don't really know, how can I get out there? How can I make a difference? Well, this is a great opportunity. Bethel Church has partnered with McLaughlin Middle School, and we get to go there and do some yard work, which doesn't sound fun, but it actually was last year. And for those of you who have families, we brought our, well, so my daughter was one, my son was three, my other son was five, and we had a great time last year. So this is really, anybody can come. If you are interested, we would love for you to sign up out there at the info table, because we're going to give you lunch. I thought that would get a round of applause, but it is getting late. It is getting late. Lunch will be provided. It's going to be awesome. If you do have yard tools or anything, feel free to bring those when you come. And so it's going to be on August 13th from 9 to noon. And as a special thing this year, it's kind of cool. We're actually going to have some students from McLaughlin. They're going to be out there with us. And so I don't want to burden any of you and be like, hey, get your act straight. But it would be a bummer if it was me and Pastor Troy and all these students came and they're like, where? We heard Bethel Church was going to come do this. So we would love for you to come and meet these kids. And also, it's kind of a new project, but we're going to be working a little bit in the surrounding properties that are around the school as well. So our reach there is getting stronger, and we're really able to bless McLaughlin School. So that'll be a cool thing, and definitely come out for that. I do want to invite the worship team to come up as we receive our offerings this morning. And just to encourage you guys, it's been a great service. It's been a lot. We've had a lot of things thrown at you, but who loved listening to Rick Ellis speak about what's going on in Chile? Yeah. Really, really awesome. And actually, I got the privilege to go downstairs and hear him talk again to the kids, which also really love that. If you were blessed today and that is something you think, man, I would like to give something, to help, just designate that on your giving. You know, as Rick shared, that's something we do all year, so it's certainly something you could do on a continued basis. But if you thought today the Lord put something on your heart and you wanted to bless him, just feel free to do that. Just mark it on your offering. If you were just thinking of dropping cash in, don't write it on the cash. Put it in an envelope, write it on the envelope, and that's how we'll know what's going on. So let's pray, and we'll sing one more song here.